Well, like he said, I love story. And really, that started with movies. I can remember watching movies with my family. Every time I'd go to my grandparents, getting to watch different movies. And the one movie that I got to see every time in the summer was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I liked all of them, but this was my favorite. Something about Sean Connery and Harrison Ford on the screen together, I just loved as a kid. The adventure of looking for something that no one else had found. And I was captivated by that story. And I just love that moment near the end where he's passed two of the trials. He's got to get to the Holy Grail because his dad has been shot by the villain of the story. So he has to get this resurrected life water for his father, not for himself. But he's faced with this leap of faith.
Impossible. Nobody can jump this.
Indy! Indy, you must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith.
You must believe, boy. You must believe.
That moment of stepping out, not knowing, not realizing that there was a bridge right underneath that had been painted to look like the cavern. Obviously, none of us have probably faced that. I hope not. You need to tell me your story afterwards. But the truth is, we face these moments all the time. My big moment, one of my big moments was actually, I grew up in Alabama. I was a senior in high school, about a month from graduating, when I realized I did not want to be the engineer that I was planning to be. I was good at math. Both my parents were engineers. It seemed like the right choice up until I realized I really didn't like math. I was good at it, but I didn't like it. And I was faced with this dilemma of what am I going to do then? And I slowly felt this pull towards ministry. Youth ministry in particular at the time. And I remember telling my parents, and my mom just looking at me and going, no. I would go to Ecuador, spend a month there, and my mom would say, well, while you're there, you think on it. And I remember while I was there walking one day and just feeling this overwhelming sense that this was exactly what I was supposed to do. And so I came home, and that's what I ended up doing. 4 years of school, internships, where I felt the affirmation of God calling me into this ministry. I would graduate, excited of the career opportunities, of starting to reach out. I would be married just a couple weeks later. We would move in with my parents. I started a job at Walmart just waiting for the call. That never came. Eventually, my wife would get a job in Kentucky, and we'd move to Kentucky to our first apartment. And over the next 2 months, I got more and more depressed as I would have interview after interview and be told, not the right fit, not enough experience, or even going as far as hanging up halfway through a conversation with me in one phone call interview. I hit this moment of, I felt God calling me, and now where was he? What was going on? See, that's what faith is. Hebrews puts it this way. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That was my problem is I didn't know the future. I didn't know where God was leading me or taking me. And the problem was I was wavering in that faith. Which is so funny because he'd already led me through so much to get to this point. But now in these few months, with every time I was watching my wife go out the door to her job, And I just sat there. I was getting desperate, which is so funny because when you think about it, Hebrews goes on to list the heroes of the faith, and one of them, as Emma read for us, is Abraham. Abram at the time, and I love what it says in Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go for your country, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. I mean, can you just imagine this moment? God comes to you and says, "Hey, I need you to go." And as Hebrews 11 says, Abram's response is, "Where are we going?" He goes, "I'll tell you when we get there." I mean, that just boggles my mind. I'm a planner. I like to know everything coming up. I like to know what the order is. And so to be told, "I'll fill you in on the rest as we go," how terrifying. And yet Abram is able to just say, "Okay, let's go." He steps out in this moment willing to trust in God, not even knowing where they're stopping. As Hebrews says, once even getting there, realizing that this isn't his place all his own. No, he'll be there as a stranger and a foreigner, bouncing around. Because that's what faith is. Faith is going without knowing all the answers. Maybe you're a visual learner like I am. So I asked Nathan early on. We're friends. We do youth ministry things together. So Nathan, if you will come on up. He only knows a slight bit of what we're doing, actually. So this is mostly a surprise for him. How many of you have ever seen a trust fall? All right. They're very simple here. Let's do a quick trust fall real quick to show them how it goes. Anne, you put on some weight.
Yeah. I did that just for you.
Thank you. They're fairly simple. And when you know who it is, usually it's pretty simple to trust who that person is. And I think Abram had that. I think he, 75 years in walking with God and talking with God already, I think it was a little bit easier for him to do that. Now, the thing with God, though, is God wants us fully. And so he tests it. So this time, put your arms out so it's a little easier to catch you and go back. Don't look back here. It's a trust fall. Well, you said woo. What scared you a minute?
I went lower that time.
You went lower that time. I love doing this. I'm not going to do it with you. When I do this with, I've done this with teenagers. You know, they're a little, I used to like pick a middle schooler out, and I will get as low as I can. Because it is. It's this moment. You thought you knew where God was, and that was fine, up until God moved a little further back. Not because God is moving away from you, but God says, "Hey, I trust you to go out in front. Now let's do it again." You brought your blindfold. Thank you. Can you blindfold yourself? It's funny. 2 Corinthians says this. It says, "For we live by faith, not by sight." And it's so fascinating. Every time I've done this, there is something about putting on a blindfold that freaks everyone out. Even though they didn't look ahead of time, now all of a sudden it's been taken away. And isn't that the truth? You were fine trusting God with your money until you lost the job. You were fine trusting God with your relationship until it didn't work out. Until things got real, all of a sudden, now you... Where's that faith? And okay, we're going to do it again. You ready? All right, go. All right. Don't take it off yet. All right. So we're going to stand here, and you're going to go backwards again when I say, but not yet. Because see, here's the thing. God gets really crazy with us. And it is. God starts asking us to do some really things sometime. What? What's wrong?
I hear you over there.
Oh, well. You ready to fall backwards? All right, do you trust me?
I do trust you.
All right, throw your hands out. Fall backwards. You can take it off.
I had no idea.
Thank you, you're good. But that is it. Faith is it's one thing to do the trust fall that you've done with God over and over. It's another thing when God all of a sudden walks out in front of you and says, okay, do you still trust me? That's why I love when you go further into the story, one of those stories is Gideon. And this is how Gideon is handled. I just realized this is out of order. Here we go. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, which is always hilarious to me because he's saying this to the guy who's hiding in a cistern threshing wheat because he doesn't want to be found by the Midianites. And Gideon's response is, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, he says, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. It's interesting because isn't that how it just is? God comes before you and says, mighty warrior, I've got good things, I'm with you. And our answer is, really? Have you seen what has happened this last year to me? How come you seem to always be with the other people? That family doesn't seem to have problems. The other guy got the promotion. That family, they're able to have children. Where is the evidence that you're with me? And I love the Lord's response. He says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God says, hey, it's me that I'm sending you. And I love this. This has been on my heart all week looking at this verse. He says, go in the strength you have. What he's telling him is, Gideon, you already have the strength you need. I don't call people who aren't ready yet. I call the people who I've got them just where I need them. Because I'm with you. And it's interesting because Gideon's story, you know, he does this whole, I mean, Gideon honestly is a coward. He will continue to go back and forth with God. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you really sure? All the way up until the moment he's fighting the battle, and God says, hey, just to make sure you're okay, like, I'll give you one more, and you can go hear how I've already terrified them. But I can just picture that moment. You know, he's been doing this trust fall with God over and over. He's building up the strength, and then God walks in front and says, all right, are you ready for the battle plan? And Gideon's like, yes, what are we going to do? And he's like, grab a jar, a torch, and a trumpet. That's what you need. I mean, can you just imagine that moment of going, okay, you're forgetting a few things we usually take when we go to battle. But that's how God works. He goes, you already have what you need. You don't need the qualifications. I've called you. That's the qualification. He says, will you trust me? That's what he wants to know. It's important to understand, though, if you don't have a relationship with God, that trust comes very hard. See, that was my problem going back to my story. For the last few months, as I got more and more depressed of trying to figure out what God was doing in my life, I pulled away. And it dawned on me one Monday morning as I was sitting there in tears praying to God and realizing I hadn't actually been praying the last few weeks. And it's started to bother me that I realized, wait, I haven't been reading either. And so I actually spent that week reading a gospel a day, not hearing from God, not feeling him, but feeling better myself that I was doing what I needed to be doing. And it all culminated this moment. I'm sure my wife remembers this. One of our biggest fights happened on a Sunday morning as we pulled into the church parking lot. Because it had dawned on me, the biggest thing, and the Holy Spirit just put it on my heart that we, because you know, we were waiting to see where we were going, we hadn't picked a church. We had been going to this one church and were fairly sure that was going to be our church if things didn't work out and this would be our home church. But I had kind of said early on, well, let's not give to church. We'll give our tithe once we decide the church we're going to go to. And I said, hey, I think we need to give our tithe to this church. And she's like, okay, we can do that. You know, she grabbed the checkbook. I said, no, you don't understand. I think we need to give the tithe and everything we've missed so far. It's one thing to say, hey, can we give 10%? It's another thing to say, hey, can we give 10% for the past 10 weeks? You know, I'm looking at her going, hey, no, I want to give a full paycheck right now. And she's like, I'm not sure I'm feeling the same spirit you're feeling. We did. We argued in the car for about 10 minutes back and forth on this. It's one of the few arguments I won. But it ended. It ended with us giving, and I kid you not, it was less than a week later I got a call from this church in Illinois saying, hey, we'd like to interview you. I kid you not, I do not remember ever putting my name in for this church. They didn't even have my resume. But they're like, hey, we want to talk to you. And that would be where I spent the last 14 years. I can't promise you that when you walk by faith that it will always work out. Actually, I think it's interesting that in Hebrews 11, it goes on to make sure you know this. It says, hey, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. I can't promise it's always going to work out. At our church, we've been doing a series on Daniel. I love that. We just did the fiery furnace, that idea of sometimes faith is saying, even if it doesn't work out, we still believe. Hebrews says sometimes it's not this side of heaven that we get to have the win, but the day is coming. That's the joy of knowing Jesus. That's the joy of Christianity, is that we know the good news that no matter what happens in this life, our faith is not tied to results of temporary value, but of eternal value. And so we look here and we say, hey, it might be the God of wonders who can do miraculous things. It might be a God who still does miraculous things, but he's got a different plan today. And I want you to know, when it comes to walking out in faith, I don't think it's always just it's not always going to be a splitting of the Red Sea or a fiery furnace that you can walk into. Sometimes stepping out in faith is having a conversation with a checkout lady. Sometimes it's having the courage to go a little further in your conversation with your neighbor or willing to help someone that you were when you're running late. I think so often we look for the big moments and we don't even see that God's got little things planned for us each and every day. A conversation here, a helpful hand here, even just a smile when you're not feeling it. I think that's the power of following our God. So I want to end with this. I'm always impressed by any verse that has the word therefore in it, because the word therefore means you have to go and look back at everything beforehand to understand what it's talking about. And Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, therefore, since we just heard about Abraham and Gideon and all the other others, and let me be fair, if you ever feel like you're not doing enough, Samson and Jephthah make the cut for heroes of faith. I'm pretty sure you're doing okay. But seriously, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We run with perseverance. We keep moving forward, regardless of what the answers are, because it's not about the answers. Faith is assurance in what we don't know. It's about the hope that no matter what the answer is, we know the final answer. And so I hope you know this. This is something I stress faith more than anything else. It's my number one spiritual gift. That we have an amazing God who is all around us and is always working. And we don't always get to know his ways, and we don't always get to know how things fit, but I know one thing. It is all working for the good of his glory. And so we move forward in the race of perseverance, loving him, and having faith. Thank you.